For centuries, Pacific Islanders have been sharing stories that connect us across the region. Stories from the Pacific is a weekly program that continues that tradition, bringing you deep and personal stories from a diverse range of people. Athletes, farmers, artists, teachers, activists, entrepreneurs, all united by their Pacific heritage and incredible journeys.
Listen to Stories from the Pacific on your favorite podcast app.
This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijin Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinidar Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ali, hello, kia ora na, kam na Māori, whakalofa lahi atu, malo lelei, bonjour, ni hao, konnichiwa, what else have we got here, pulavinaka,
stop reading, mate,
here we go.
Just
welcome,
get to the intro,
Nijin Footy. This is the number one place for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Watts, and alongside me is my Cook Island Coey. Don't you ever interrupt my intro ever again, Tinidau, Arona.
Kia ora na, Sammy, kia ora na to all our listeners, but Sam, what about them wheels on ya? I just seen on your socials,
yes,
that race of yours.
Yes.
Winding mate, the clock back.
I'll tell
racing
you right
little
now,
kids.
Little kids.
Talk me through it. What
well,
happened?
I was just minding my own business on Tuesday's training. Just, you know, doing my weights. You know, I like to train before the team sessions. Some of these young bucks in the team just want to, you know, test the old bull out a little bit. Agitate him a little bit just to see what's this guy got. They call me Unc.
Cool,
yeah,
Unc.
Yeah, they put me on the Unc boat.
Better than Grandpa.
I know. I'll take it. I was like, mate, that's young in my books, but they think that's old. Anyway, young kid just
got teased for wearing chinos.
Chinos. And they
tight pants.
Yeah. What do you call it? Baggy jeans is in these days, like this day and age. Yeah, we had baggy jeans when we were coming through. It's just all comes in swings and roundabouts. Anyway, he's just come to me. I want to race you on Thursday. This young kid is 18. He's a prop.
18-year-old prop.
18-year-old prop. Like, the audacity and the confidence of these kids. Like, kick back, bro. Anyway.
Anyway, how much did you beat him by?
Mate, smoked him. It would have been about 10 metres, over 100 metres. And he had a false start. And
you had two schools lining up, mate, giving you a tunnel.
Giving me the tunnel. Was
how'd
ready.
You feel? How'd you feel when you knew
not
you
gonna
had...
lie. I was a bit nervous because I haven't opened up like that in so long. I was really scared for my hamstrings that they were going to blow out. And I had these real tight shorts on too, like really tight. I just thought I just needed to be skin tight, aerodynamics through the air. And that was me. Got the job done. Told him to kick back. And don't you ever come at me again. And even in the gym, you know what I mean? 60-kilo dumbbells straight up on the bench a
yeah,
couple of times.
That.
Yeah, there
nice.
We go. Just got to show them anyway. T, it's not about me.
Nah, you still got it, mate. You still got it. And we have a show to cover, so we better get...
Yeah, let's get to the important stuff.
Move on from your story, and let's get to Nijin Footy Fridays, where we will have some special guests with us today. We have the usuals, Sala Tongatuki, joining us very shortly. We'll go through all things Anzac round this weekend and
origin selections too,
state of origin
the
for
women's
the women's game.
Yep.
So they will kick off in 6 days time, so next Thursday we have
up
game one, game one of three, and we'll catch up with Salah to talk us through some of those selections. And Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani will be joining us live from Fiji to cover Super Round.
Super Round is here.
What is Super Round, Sammy?
It's the equivalent. No, I'm not going to put in the same breath as Magic Round, but it is, if you're trying to paint a picture, it's sort of the same as Magic Round in rugby league, but probably on a smaller scale.
And this is played at the new stadium in Christchurch,
New
Zealand.
Seen the pictures of that stadium? The Christchurch one? Have you seen any photos of it?
Indoors?
Indoor, like it's got like, a roof
cover
on it, but it looks beautiful.
Can that roof come off?
I'm not too sure, but I've been in Christchurch and obviously in Dunedin where the roof just stays on. I think it's just important it stays on.
You know what did catch my eye? They showed some replays on TV of the very first Crusaders versus Super 12 game.
Oh, yeah?
And they played the Waratahs, and the Waratahs were pretty much open to score the winning try, and there was a guy that saved the try by making the tackle, diving up, and then, yeah, that was how they...
Is it on their socials? What did you see?
I can't remember where I've seen it. Because might have been on the socials.
It would have to be, because you wouldn't have actively looked for it, so...
No,
it would
just have come up on my... Okay. Well, my algorithm is, you know, obviously
through.
Showing a bit of there super rugby
okay.
there, so...
Right.
Yeah, I thought that was interesting to see, but now they've got the new stadium there at Christchurch, yep. which, you know, could be the home of rugby union.
Oh, perfect. Well, we're going to get into all of that. Let's get to it now.
Hey, I'm De La Salva, and I'm listening to Nijan Footy.
Yes, you are listening to Nijan Footy, and we're going to start with rugby league. The Tigers, they continue to get the claws out and pack out stadiums. What a
performance.
What a performance.
What a well-drilled team and squad that they've built over the last couple of years. And this game being played in Leichhardt in Sydney, some may say that this is the home of the West Tigers.
17,000 people there.
A sellout. That hill, Wayne Pearce Hill?
Wayne Pearce Hill, yep.
The Wayne Pearce Hill, that was chock-a-blocks. And the West Tigers played the Canberra Raiders last night. And geez, they put on a performance, 33 points to 14. Look, the Raiders did miss Hudson Young and informed Simi Sasangi, and also Cook Island Samoa and Josh Papali'i. They didn't play last night, but the Tigers, just the way they started the game, you know, got out the blocks, tries to Luke Lauli'i and also Adam Dewey before the Raiders. They did find some momentum. Api Kotosau, he got 10 in the bin for a hip drop. We've seen a few of these hip drops over, like in the last 8 rounds in the NRL, maybe due to fatigue.
How do you avoid that? Like he's making a cover tackle. Like he's going to leave his feet to try and get to that attacker that's going forward. Like, is it not just an accident, or is it consistent with
I think
what's been
some
happening?
Of these ones, are like last night with RP, I don't think there could have been much more than RP that RP could have done. Maybe keep his feet on the ground instead of trying to swing and use his body to bring the attacking down. But I believe that there are an increase of hip drops and an increase of injuries due to the pace of the game. You know, the game this day and age, or this year, has been so fast because of the ruck infringements. And you know, all it takes is one defender out of the defensive line not to come up, and then it creates a space, and everyone has to cover for that space. Now, you'll see hip drop tackles often happen when a ball carrier will run through the defensive line and make a half break.
Yes.
And then yep. the defender is now tackling from the side. Instead of from tackling the attacker, the ball carrier in front, he's now trying to grab him and make up for his error, or make up for that half break by pulling him down and using his body weight to bring him down. And unfortunately, it lands on those boys' legs.
When I defend with you in league, what's usually like the space between me and you? Like, how many meters usually is it?
In the middle, you'd say you'd start off about 3 meters apart. In
3 meters apart,
so
yeah.
From the marker A and B, you're looking around 3 to 4 meters, and you'd increase 1 meter every defender outside.
So when you and you think about if when you're tired, you can't cover that space as well as when you're fresh, and that's when you start losing your legs. You don't get your tracking right, and that's when people are and in up behind the player for a hit drop. Is that right?
Yeah, like you want to come up as a line, and when, say in the middle, when the attack is running, we want simultaneous contact.
Yep.
So if A and B defenders, we get up, we want to hit them at the same time. So there is no chinks, or there's no like...
There's you no hit seam.
Him, if you hit him first, then I hit him second. There's
gotcha.
There's a bit of space for that attacker to find through, to weave through.
Gotcha.
And that's where I feel like we're finding a lot more injuries due to fatigue. Man, there was one point in the game where Royce Hunt was just after the second half, before his stint, it was around the 10 minute mark, he was struggling to get back on
side. Where's
my man.
Second wind?
But to Royce's credit, he did come on and finish the game with an unbelievable try, which I'll get to shortly. But Api Kotosau, he gets sent 10 in the bin. Now, this is the damage that a player being sent to the bin can happen, the cause of it, and the impact that could happen on their team. The Raiders go on to score 2 tries and a penalty goal through Matthew Timoko and K.O. Weeks scoring them tries. So they end up finding themselves in the lead going into halftime, 14 points to 12. Second half, RP comes back on. You know, the boys regroup. There's footage of the Tigers in their sheds, not panicking, still smiling, still staying connected. And then they come out and it was pretty much all the Tigers. Four unanswered tries. Tries to Taylor May, Adam Dewey and Luke Lolii get a second try. But it was Royce Hunt's try at the end where he gets sent through a hole. He has a man to his left. Guess what he does to the fullback, Kale Weeks?
Just goes over him.
Doesn't draw him past.
Just wants to go
steps
over.
Steps off
him.
His left. Goosey step backs off his right, fends him off, and finds the try line. So, Royce Hunt, mate, credit to you. And
mate,
also,
they do look happy, though, T, don't they?
Yeah, very well-connected group, like, playing for one another.
Sulla talked about that last week around, like, it's a family club.
Family
Everyone
environment,
happy,
yep.
But and it's so noticeable out on that field.
Yeah, well, speaking of how connected and close they look, you know, like Sunia Turuva and the mouth that he may have on him when he's playing the game.
Why is it always small blokes with a mouth? And the big boys have to come in and help.
He does have, he plays with that bit of swag. And yeah, there was one carry and he was actually really good for the Tigers, getting them out of their own end. There was one carry where he's ran, done a step, made a half break, and the guy that tackled him sort of past them, and he starts laughing and goes, ha, ha. He's one of those players, you'd love to have him on your team, but you'd hate to play him.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And
only imagine.
The end, he had a bit of a push and shove with their hooker, Tom Starling. And then the first guy that comes straight
Of course,
the
it
top,
was the big bopper too.
Samuel Afeni.
Hey, don't touch my mate.
Don't touch my boy. But hey, I just think the turnaround from the Tigers, the way they've been playing their footy lately, I'm sure that there's plenty of happy Tigers fans.
We say it all the time, T. Winning solves everything, and I'm loving seeing the Tigers be on top for once. But I'm going to ask you about another team to see if they're happy at the moment or if they are smiling now, the Dragons. Dean Young come in as the new coach.
Yes, so on Monday
we mentioned
Shane Flanagan was, what's the word?
Let go after.
Terminated.
Yeah, terminated.
Mutually terminated from his coaching contract. And assistant coach Dean Young has now stepped in as the interim coach for the St. George Illawarra Dragons. Now, there was a really cool interview that they Dean Young done when it was announced. And I just love the way that he spoke, very direct. Sounds like he understands what's needed to change and help the playing group there at the moment, at this stage. But I loved how he spoke to his family.
Said sorry,
apologized to his family, saying, I apologize for what's going to happen next because of the commitment.
Yeah, he's going to be locked into preparing his football side
that
now.
He will have to have for his rugby league team. So he understands that role, but also puts his family, understands the importance of making sure the family understands first. Second one is that he went to young rookie Cade Reed's house and he said this is the best part of coaching. One, telling him that he'll be making his NRL debut this weekend, but also explaining to the parents that he doesn't expect him to be the answer for the Dragons. So the boys will look after him out there, but Cade Reed gets to make his...
Like drove there, not just picked up the phone, he drove there.
Yep, and done it in person. And then the big one that probably surprised a lot of people, and when I think about it, I don't think it doesn't catch me by surprise, is that he moved on the other assistant coach, Mickey Innes. I've played with Mickey Innes. He speaks very well. He understands the game. He knows coaching. He knows how to get his players up for a game. But what he said about this decision was that he feels like the playing group just needs a shift, needs a change, needs to hear different voices, needs to hear each other's voices.
Yeah, that's the big one. They need to hear each other's voices and know that they've got the confidence and the ability to take control of the game. You don't need to look for any answers from the coaches. Like, there's enough experience in that football team to get the job done.
Yeah. So I know that Mickey Innes has probably done a lot of the talking for Shane Flanagan as well. So maybe that was like a decision for Dean Young to go, hey, let's get some fresh voices in here. Let's try and they just want to see some kind of change and feel that change. So sounds like he understands what's what's needed for the, and he also knows the Dragons culture. He's won a premiership for the club.
Yeah, he was a ball boy at the club.
And a ball boy. So,
I loved it. I felt his words. I think to be able to make three massive decisions like that straight off the bat, you just know that he means business. So I'm looking forward to seeing the response from the players this weekend because it's a massive game. The Anzac Day clash between the Roosters.
We'll go into that Anzac game. The Roosters this Saturday, I think these are one of the big ones that as a player you'd love to be a part of. When I was at the Sydney Roosters, it was just that one game that I'd love to play, and I think I got to play in two. And they're such special games because of the occasion.
You said it was one of your memorable games, eh?
Most memorable ones, yeah. Yeah, the remembrance of our Anzacs, all the formalities before the game. And
the last post,
you know, even the jerseys. Yeah, you know, I remember wearing the camo Roosters jersey, which is pretty nice. Cool. But there's a lot of emotion that goes into this game, and I think the Dragons will put up a fight, but I just don't think they have the cavalry to get the job done against Sydney Roosters.
When we had Connor Watson on Monday for that Pacific Sports Show, he said the hardest thing about preparing for this game is the unknown of what can a new coach coming in can spark. So probably before they were, you know, more confident, and then they're still confident, but they just said, oh man, we don't know what we're going to get this weekend. So
there's more pressure on the Roosters than the Dragons.
Yep.
If I'm the Dragons, you know, you're going in there with no expectations. Go and enjoy your 40.
Play with some flow.
Yeah, enjoy the moment. Enjoy the occasion. But the Roosters, they're expected to win this one. So they're going in there with like, oh man, we have to make sure that we're on, because it's also at, although it's a home game for the Dragons, it's at the Sydney Roosters home stadium. So, yeah, look, they'll be expected to put on a big performance, which I'm sure they will. We'll cover the other games with Sala Tongatuki very shortly, but I am looking forward to their Anzac Day. You've got the Chookies versus the Dragons, the Warriors versus the Dolphins, and then the Melbourne Storm versus the South Sydney Rabbitohs. Three huge games on Saturday that I'll be looking forward to watching.
My name's Aiden Tower, and you're listening to Legion Footy.
Hey, remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. And yes, Rugby Union, we are into Super Round. We mentioned that in the intro. It is sort of the equivalent of Magic Round. Yeah, definitely on a smaller scale. Like, I don't think you can compete with what goes on in Brisbane for Magic Round. It hisses up there, but it's good to see Christchurch have a new stadium and this be the opening game for that stadium. Sellout? Sellouts.
Sellouts all 3 days.
All 3 days.
Did you know, and I know we've already spoken about rugby league, but apparently every game is meant to be a sellout this weekend in the NRL.
Really?
I think there was only like 3,000 tickets left to be sold in the Cowboys game.
Wow, that's impressive. Because the Dolphins are playing the Warriors in Wellington.
Yes.
That game was sold out last week or something like that. So
Isaiah Katoa's from there as well.
He's from there. So it's the homecoming there of the prodigy son. He's coming back to Wellington. And they've got a clinic on the Sunday, actually. He's hosting a free clinic at Avalon Rugby Club. At his dad's old rugby club.
There you go.
Nice. So from two to 4 p.m.
Better,
so he'll be doing that.
Talking about some union.
That's rugby league. Man, how do you keep hijacking my news? But it is good. It is a special occasion, and you know what these rounds are like. You know, this is not just a footy. There's all the stuff that happens outside of the stadium with all the activations. I loved seeing the socials around. You know, Pete Samu playing scissors paper rock with a school kid. He put his boots on the line. He lost, handed over his boots to the young kid, and just seeing him light up and happy as that he got Pete Samu's boots. He won a few premierships with the Crusaders as well, Pete Samu. So it was nice for him to go back there. We also saw Charlie Gamble, who's actually from Christchurch, the number 7 from the Waratahs, go back to his school and they do a bit of a presentation for him. So all of those heartwarming moments, getting amongst the community, it's always special to see.
When you think of New Zealand Rugby Union, where is the home of Rugby Union in New Zealand, in your opinion?
In my opinion.
In your opinion, where's the home of Rugby Union in New Zealand?
Why would you do that to me?
Because you played rugby union in New Zealand.
It's hard. To be honest, for me, it's hard to go past two places, Wellington and Christchurch. I feel like they're the two homes of rugby union for me. over there. Okay. Just because, maybe it's because I loved the Hurricanes through the Jerry Collins, Martin Nonu era and Tana era.
Yep.
And I loved the Crusaders era of, you know, Dan Carter, Richie McCaw,
yep,
and those type of superstars. Justin Marshall. So that's
Nemani.
Why. Nemani Kundrani. And I didn't like the Blues for some reason. I don't know why. Maybe because they flogged.
What about them. The Chiefs?
Chiefs, mate, they're all good. But I just think of iconic teams. I don't know. They stick out for me.
The Hurricanes, yep. And I'm always going to go Highlanders. So.
Yeah, that hits home for you. But look, big halftime entertainment as well.
660?
No, not many, if any.
Ah, Scribe. The Crusader.
He's doing the halftime entertainment for the opening game, which will be the Crusaders and the Waratahs on the Friday night.
That's winding the clock back.
Not many, if any. Does he have another song?
Yeah, he's got a few.
I only remember not many, if any, but how cool is that? But I do want to talk about that game, and it is number 7. Someone wearing the number 7 jersey, the famous open-side flanker jersey worn by Richie McCaw.
For the Crusaders.
For the Crusaders. It's going to be worn by a back this game. Lester Fainga-Anuku and your cousin Lima Sopawanga said he's the best centre in Super Rugby at the moment.
Well,
he's one of the best centres in the world.
I've seen his social media post and he made such a big hype reel about this player shifting from centre to number 7. Talk to me, because I was a bit confused watching it. I was like, what's all the hype about? I was like, oh man, it's just another person playing in it, like one player playing in a different position. Last night when we were watching the Tigers, I seen Sione Fainu, who's a prop, finish the game at hooker.
Yeah, see, that would be sort of like a good comparison, because a front row wouldn't be getting down, getting to every rack, trying to give service, because that needs to be on a platter. That's a special skill to be able to do that. Whereas like a winger going to prop, or Tiana Benetani going from centre to back row, it is a change. But is it really? Because you got your hard carries, you're on the edge still, you're one position in potentially. There are different roles.
The same principles of just run hard, tackle hard.
Apply
to most roles in rugby league.
Yeah, but the one where you said about hooker and front row, there's
differences.
Differences there. And that's what it is for Lester here as a centre. So he'll be packing on the side of the scrum for one. So he needs to know where he puts his shoulder. You know, he can't...
7, is it always outside or inside, or it doesn't matter?
He's the open side flanker on a scrum, so he's always got the open side, the blind side.
So it can be left or right.
So yep. It's not just one side. So there's
that. One difference, the scrum. He has to pack the scrums.
And then there's line-out clarity. You know, is he going to jump? Is he going to lift? Is he going to put his head in the maw?
Yes, because centres don't need to get in the line-out.
Don't need to do that, no.
Yep, that's 2. What else?
Defending... in the middle of the field, like being closer to the ruck, closer to the action.
He's always around the moors, around the rucks, the ball.
Around the ball. So where the ball is, that's where the open side flankers are, because they got to get on ball and try and slow the ruck.
Instead of having a rest outside and waiting for the ball.
So normally when he would make a tackle in defence, in the centres, he would make his tackle, get up and get to an edge.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. Whereas he can get in the tackle and stay there and be a pest around the ruck.
Or go to the next ruck.
Exactly. So there's some differences there.
And what's the, with Lima, how much of a hype he made it, what's the positive signs, or what's the strength?
The thing that you said, those run hard, tackle hard
application.
He's going to have that impact of winning collisions. So I think of someone like Angus Crichton coming over to rugby union from rugby league. What are his main attributes?
He's got a good bumper on him.
Yes.
Got good leg speed.
He can win the game line.
Can carry the ball strong, yeah. Find space, and then defensively, pretty solid.
I think you play to someone's strengths like that. So at line-out time, people go, oh, he needs to learn mauls and stuff like that. But you don't have to have 6 or 7 people in the line-out every time. You can play with 5 men if you want and have him in the back line, which he's more familiar with, where he doesn't have to worry about that detail inside the line out.
Yeah.
So you can give it to him early and he can play that position. Defensively, you can defend with 6 even if they put 7 in. So he can defend in the back line as well. So don't do that 6-7. Don't do that ever again.
Wait, last question on this one. When you're defending as a 7, do you have to, is there any thought process, or do you have to be aware of where your attackers are. So do you have to read numbers? So if he's at centre, he has to look up, he has to read numbers. Whereas as a seven, is it just you just stick to the ruck and you just tackle whatever's in front of you?
Yeah, and having really good spacing around the ruck and a little bit further out, because he'll push his, so what he'll need to do is push his tight five, like his locks and front rows in, and he'll get on the outside of them around general phase, a multi-phase defence. The big one for him defensively off the side of the scrum is making sure he gets his timing right to break off in time. So if he stays on the scrum too long, man, there's a seam between the first guy that gets the ball and the 5-8, so the first hands, he's got to be cover his inside shoulder.
So it's not a one-on-one tackle.
Yes, so yeah. That's all he needs to do. But I think it's a really, really positive sign where rugby could head in the future in terms of around their selections. And yeah. I think Angus Crichton, when he comes to Rugby Australia, the people that are coaching him, the way they have their strategy in their game, cater to his strengths.
Yep.
He doesn't need to be in all the set-piece stuff. Just cater to his strengths, and then he can play that hybrid role. So I think it's good signs, and I'm excited for this one.
One last one.
Who caused break in the scrum?
No, straight up, real question.
I actually don't even know. Do you just know?
Well, when the seven has to break, how does Angus Crichton know when he has to get out of the scrum when the ball goes?
Yeah, because he's got his eyes on the ball when the halfback passes it.
But his head's down trying to push the scrum.
So like in that, so your head's down, your shoulder connection's on, but your eyes need to be up.
Oh, okay, so
as a number eight, you've got your head in, but you got to pop up as well and have a look. And then you'll just feel, once you feel them off you as a second row, you know you're going to get out soon. So
no one's calling break.
They probably do, but I haven't really noticed it. What a terrible coach of rugby union, eh? I didn't even know that. But hey, we're going to talk more rugby with Nemani Nondolo Kurundrani when we get to him. But I just,
and I hope you enjoyed your lesson around the differences between a centre and a lock.
Did you like it?
I liked it.
Yeah,
I
did thanks, like it. Mate. If you give me the tick of approval, I will take that.
I don't know if our listeners would take, I don't know.
No, they love this chat for me. Why wouldn't they? All right. Before we get to Nemani Kurundrani, let's head over to Sala Tongatuki.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tongatuki!
With Sala Tongatuki.
Yes, we are joined with Sala Tongatuki, the one and only NRLW superstar, New South Wales Blue. She has played for and the Fetu Samoa, Gila Rouge, you name it, she's done it. Sala, welcome back to Nation Footy Fridays. How was your week been?
Good morning. Yes, it's good to be back as always. How's your lads?
Yeah, no, good.
Yeah,
yeah, let's get straight into it. Women's State of Origin, we're only 6 days away from game one of three. This will be played next week in Newcastle. In Newcastle.
Game one, Newcastle.
Game one. And, you know, we've seen the team list been announced. Unfortunately, you know, I didn't see a name, so... I thought, you know, is this the right time to talk about it? But you are happy to talk about the selection process and, you know, talk us through, you know, what that process looked like. Did the coach call you? You know, what were the team selections like?
Yeah, so obviously we had our last in-house trials Thursday night. That was it. And then Friday was the phone calls, and I think he starts with the players that don't make it. That's how he's always done it. So a lot of the girls are obviously hoping that they don't get phone calls before 12 because, yeah, those conversations are really tough to have. And he's really good with that strategy. He's very fair, and I commend him for the way he did his phone call. Like mine was good feedback. I know what I'm going to do now in the Tigers preseason to work my backside off to obviously be included for either game two or three, but nonetheless, if you're not in there, like, and the girls are going great, like, I fully support the crew, like, yeah, and it's tough. It was actually, like, this preseason block and a group of girls that came in, it was, like, competition was on, and we knew from the get-go, like, it's not going to be an easy one, and, yeah, at the end of the day, we're representing the best state, very biased, but, yeah, and I just hope the girls can go back-to-back and get a clean sweep for three games. So, yeah, it was tough. It was disheartening, and I was gutted, but I sat with the disappointment. I had my moment with it over the weekend, and, yeah, and you need to do that as a player, but more so because it can affect you as a person with your life outside of footy. So I made sure I had my time with it. I've now, you know, come to terms with, yes, Sway, I've accepted that. And yeah, I'm just going to move forward and shift my focus to NRLW. But if the chance comes, that's God's plan. Like, I would take it with both hands. But yeah, I fully support the crew that's being selected.
That phone call is heartbreaking when you get it, eh? And when you say before 12, I know that feeling. When you see his name come up on your phone before 12, like, what are your, like, are you answering the first ring, or do you let it go to the voicemail and ring him back? Like, talk us through, like, what goes through your head when you see his name come up and you know what's coming.
Yeah, so, like, I feel like the way my day planned out, the morning, sorry, I should say, I had, it was the last day of my nephew, it was a Friday, like before school starts again. And he was just like, he kept me busy. I feel like that was for a good reason too. I had a lot of nerves. It was hard for me to even stay focused with where me and him was going, like with our plan of the morning. And I felt so like, I felt crap, like, cause my mind was like all on this phone call. Like, you just sort of pause everything else, just waiting for this phone call. Who knows, in hopes that maybe you might have a chance of being in the team or selected. But yeah, when I saw his name come up, my gut was like, oh my God, like, you know, and it was obviously, I knew it was early in the morning and I just had to brace myself for it. And yeah, like, I just, like I said, like the way he went about the phone call, it wasn't just one of those, hey, you didn't make the team and that was it. Like, that's how some phone calls can go. I've heard it from a couple of past players, but yeah, Strange's been great as a coach and he's so professional with it. And yeah, it's not my first rodeo with not making one of those big teams. This sort of reminds me of myself in 2022 when I didn't make that World Cup squad. And I knew what I had to do to sort of be my best self as a player. So I now know like what I need to do to bring that best player again back. So yeah, it's sad. Like, you can't hide it. And I feel like it's hard, like when everyone's obviously checking in, you don't have to reply straight away to everyone. Not everyone needs a reason straight away. Like I said, you need to make sure you're sitting with it, like you fully understand what's happened, because as soon as you start brushing it to the side and start taking in everyone's, I get everyone's trying to be genuine and caring and supportive, like, oh, it's all right, you know, trying to make you feel like you should have been in that team. But if you're going to continue with that kind of false hope, it's not going to take you far, honestly. Yeah. Like, that's, you need to, yeah, psychologically, like, solid, sit, man, with it.
That's solid. Yeah. That's a great message for everyone that has been in that position.
I also love your approach on giving it time, reflecting, sitting with the emotions, and then you can start to plan out or process, okay, what's next? With this news, do you feel like it's going to ignite a bigger fire for you to attack the next steps to then prove people wrong and go, you know, I deserve a spot there, and you know, what does the these next steps look like for you coming up?
Yeah, no, honestly, like, and you know, like the bunch of group of like the players that I've fallen back to, like in my Tigers team, there's obviously new faces in there, and I know why they've come to the club. They've got the same reason to prove points to just for themselves, and I feel like that's helping me a lot, myself surrounding, like, myself around them. It's probably been really good. I've been very lucky to, like, you know, I'm not the only player in that origin that's fallen back into the squad. It's myself and Shirley, and all we can do is take all of what we've learned from Blues, you know, 4 or 5 weeks of pre-season, and take that knowledge with us, and pass it on to our girls. Like, I know the girls are working so hard, and that's where, like I said, my focus has shifted to that. You just got to keep training. You can't stop. Opportunities will come. It's just sometimes it's not for you. That's probably not your time to shine, or, you know, everything happens for a reason. I'm a firm believer of that. One door, and I'm not going to go with one door closes, another opens. Like, it's just footy.
Yeah,
like, that's
it's all
the,
part
journey.
Of the journey.
It's just footy. I'm not going to brush it. It is. Like, I'm okay. I'm content with it, you know. I wasn't okay with it, but yeah, I'm okay with it now. I'm happy to. Last night's game, a lot of people, obviously, the girls are in camp right now, and a lot of people kept asking, blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, no, I'm okay. Like, if I wasn't okay, I wouldn't actually be around footy right now.
Yep.
People do take a long time to, you know, go away and reflect. But, yeah, like, when you've gone through it, like, a couple of times, like I said, it's not my first rodeo, you sort of get used to it. You grow out of it. You're becoming that experienced player. And, yeah, that's just footy. That's the expectations that come with it, the highs and the lows. So, yeah.
That's it, Sulla. One thing I do know is that you'll come back with a bigger fire in your belly. And, man, we're looking for a big season when you represent the Tigers. We just mentioned with Sammy a big shift with one of the Super Rugby players, a positional shift. And, you know, looking at the New South Wales Blues women's team, Tiana Panathani is being shifted into back row. What are your thoughts on Tiana shifting from the sixth or sometimes the seventh, the centre position, and then playing back row? Does her role change much?
Nah, you know what? I'm actually excited to see T play back row. It's literally, I feel like she'll do great because being a 5'8 or a half, she knows she's the one demanding the back row. So she knows what she's asking. She's what's been asked of her as a back rower. And knowing the aggression that T brings, so fit, can play the full 70, like I reckon she'll do well in back row. And that's just strangey. Sometimes he's shifted players in different positions, like Jocelyn Kelleher, who's now the 5'8 with Jesse. She first debuted, I think it was a wing. Like she came in as a winger. Debuted as a back rower, sorry. Then she went into the wing. She's been moved multiple positions, but yeah, now she's just fully owned it. She's done her extras to be a 5'8", and that's T. T's been there doing all her homeworks before and after our trainings, and yeah, just I think that's just a reward you get when you've got backline players that are just, you know, improving and working so hard and contending for a position. That's just strange. You still got to reward those that just are in that competition. So T's going to be awesome in back row.
Two Tongan Australian back rowers and Tiana Panathani Gray and also Yasmin Meeks. I'm looking forward to next Friday where we get to review and talk about the game. That will be played next Thursday in Newcastle and you'll be able to hear that live on ABC Radio Australia. Sulla,
yes,
another big game of NRL, big games in NRL Round 8. Let's quickly just run through some games. I'll name them, give me a reason who's going to win and a reason why. Let's start with the Saturday Anzac Day, Dragons versus the Roosters. Who's winning and why?
I'm going the Roosters. They're coming hot in form. And, yeah, that game, they play with so much passion and pride. You can speak for yourself, T. We've been there. And, man, they can like, play.
Warriors versus the Dolphins.
The Waz.
Up the Waz.
They might even win the Premier
League. I'm writing all this down for our lock and smoke at the end of the show.
I'm running with the Waz all year now.
Okay.
They are playing this game in Wellington. And a big one, Melbourne Storm versus the Bunnies. Hear this one out. The Bunnies have not beaten the Storm in Melbourne in like the last 20 games. And I don't think they've ever beaten them in Melbourne.
Is this like six in a row? They potentially could be losing six in a row.
First time ever for Craig Bellamy.
Wow.
Who wins this one and why?
I'm going with Souths. I'm going to go with Souths. Like, they're the team that you think in Anzac round, they got so much to play for. I don't know why. They're just that club that gives me Anzac vibes. And they've got the players to do it.
Yeah,
like they're sitting fourth, man. They've been playing incredible footy. They're competing, playing for each other. And Storms, like, you know, they've been found out in their last couple of games. Like, that should give them the edge to sort of expose them. Like, home ground too, there's so much, like, to play for, like, for Souths to break that record, that drought.
And then last one, because I know you love the Penrith Panthers. Panthers versus the Newcastle Knights. Who wins this one and one reason why?
I'm leaning with Penrith. They're just more consistent and disciplined. They know how to stay in that grind for the Knights. Like, it's about starting fast and staying connected for the full 80. So if it turns into a grind and a patience game, that's where I feel like Penrith are really hard to beat. So, yeah, Penrith.
Beautiful, Sulla Tongatuki. As always, we appreciate you and we'll catch up next Friday on Nijan Footy.
Much love, Sulla. Take care.
Much love, boys.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Interception by Big Nemanja.
with Nemani Kurindrani.
Yeah, Volabina to our big man in Fiji. Here he is, right on time as well. Perfect. So the drawer must be away. He's not travelling, but he's with us right now on Nesian Footy. Nemani Nandolo Kurindrani. How are you, my brother?
Good morning, boys, or should I say Yandra boys, Yandra Minaka.
Yeah, Yandra said. Yeah, how good, how good. What's been happening in your week, your world in Fiji?
It's been good. We obviously, as you know, when you win, big win, I guess, away, first win since 2023, the vibes coming into training, I think I'm more looking forward to coming in training on Monday. It's been somewhat of a few niggles in the squad, a few changes, but no, the boys have been upbeat, and I think, again, after that game on the weekend, you know, you could see the change in tide in terms of the boys actually have a good go of this and, you know, accomplishing something they've been trying to do for a while. So, no, it's been a great week. We've obviously had training this morning with the guys that didn't travel and not in the 23. I mean, it was funny, as we finished our training session, the plane that the boys are in that's taking off to Auckland was in the background. So what a setting.
That's right, your training grounds are right next to the runway, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So it has been raining. The sun's been out. It hasn't actually been that hot, to be fair. So I think we're coming into the winter, as they speak, of Fiji standards, but it's still 34 degrees. But, you got guys walking around in jumpers, which is pretty funny. But no, it's been a good week, man.
You mentioned the boys' vibes are high. You know, they're just off the back of two wins in a row, the mighty Drua. And we have magic, what do you call it?
Super Round.
Super Round, where all the teams come together and play at Christchurch in the one stadium over the weekend. What were the vibes like from those boys in Fiji, knowing that they'll be going to Christchurch with, going and getting involved in that environment?
Yeah, I think competition just amped up. I think, you know, obviously, again, with that win on the weekend, guys were, you know, as you know, in any team environment, when you win, you sort of keep the same team sort of thing. So, you know, guys were, you know, like I said, the energy was there. And obviously with the new stadium in Christchurch, you know, everyone was trying to get on that plane. And, again, another strong side that they've taken over there. But I think the good thing about it as well, everyone's all competing, helping each other out. Probably the first training session, you know, this week where I've seen the boys really push each other. And again, I think that self-belief is starting to set in, you know, getting that first win away since I think it was 2023. It's been an exciting week. The boys, again, there's a few debutants. There's one of the kids making his debut this week. So, and again, on the flip side, you got a few injuries. But again, the boys are really pulling through, and hopefully this is a change of our season.
Hey, Nems, just off the back of that win, you had the announcement of the coaches not being there, you know, with Tim Sampson and Glenn Jackson. So there was a lot happening in that week that could have distracted the boys. But what did preparations look like that week for them to get the job done and celebrate like that?
To be fair, I think this is the first time I've actually seen the boys actually shut things out, shut all the distractions. And again, like as you said, the announcement of the coaches moving on, you know, so we all of a sudden got distractions from in-house. And, you know, in a normal world, you'd think you're going to Canberra, everything that's happened off the field, you're thinking, geez, we just need to hang in there. But it was, like I said, it was the first time I actually seen the boys work together to block out the noise, and the boys got together really good. The senior players, I thought this was a great reflection on our leaders and how they led the boys, particularly the young guys. You know, your Temo, your Mess Donge, your Frank Lamani, they really stood up. Virimi Vakatawa, Manasa Mataeli, these guys. I think what was very rewarding was the fact that it was driven by the senior players, and as you know, us Islanders in general, we can be too laid back and, you know, oh, sweet. But for them to take charge and take hold,
I think that's what I was expecting from the get-go when the season started. Yep. Was those leaders to really stand up, and I was excited about the leadership. You know, to hear that now they've got their voice and they've found it within their preparation, it's pleasing to hear, because you didn't want this season just to die wandering off the back of some of those leaders signing there and trying to change those habits for the young boys to perform at that high level.
And that's the thing, mate. And this is why we bought guys in like Temo, Virimi Vakatawa. These guys are, you know, hard men, seasoned hard men that's played overseas. And it's not so much their rugby talent, but it's their leadership off the field. And you've seen that. And then you complement that with Frank and Mess Donge. Mate, sometimes it doesn't come down to skills. Sometimes it just comes down to that mindset of your leaders picking up, you know, rolling up their sleeve and leading by action. I think you get a good leader that does that and everything follows.
They have a big game against the Chiefs this Sunday. What can we expect from the draw?
One thing, you expect us to be ourselves. I think the biggest message for us this week was, you know, yes, Brumbies are good, but we've obviously had to move on from that. And with the Chiefs, again, they're probably the best team in the comp and probably one of the favourites to win it. But I think if you were to reflect on last game, anything's possible. And I think for us, the biggest thing for us is going into this game is just worry about us.
I can't believe they didn't find any budget for you to get to Christchurch. You're the people's champ over there. Man, the mayor of Christchurch, when he lived there, scored 1,000 tries. I thought you would have cut the ribbon of the new stadium to let everyone in. None of that chat.
No, it was probably a good thing because I probably wouldn't have been anywhere near the team for 3 days. Probably would have been missing. Good thing I stayed here in Fiji, minding my own business.
Fair enough. Again, when I saw that win last week and I see what the Drua and now, you know, potential to win 3 in a row for the first time. And with the news of Moana Pacifica still in limbo, hopefully there's a glimmer of hope there that someone might take over. That win last week and again playing again this week with all the teams there, is there a feeling of representing the whole Pacific, the Drua? You know, just to make sure that we're not forgotten about, that we need to play for our brothers as well to hopefully they get to stay in the competition?
Yeah, 100%. There's been a lot of that chat actually this week amongst the boys. You know, it's obviously sad to, you know, look, at the end of the day, as much as we every time want to belt each other, every time Samoa, Tonga, Fiji play, you know, there's always that soft spot for each other if, you know, when one team's down. And I'll be honest with you, the boys I've spoken about and how much, you know, they feel for our brothers who are in Moana Pacifica and what they're going through. And, you know, potentially, you know, there's going to be a lot of them that's going to be looking for jobs. So if they can just keep putting in performances like this, you know, then it's gonna be able to, you know, obviously take away what's happening, what they're going through and you know, share that load in terms of just trying to represent the Pacific. As we all know, Fiji Drua is here, but I do, you know, we've got supporters from Samoa, Tonga. You know, when they're not supporting Moana, they're supporting Drua. And dare say sometimes they support the Drua first before the Moana. So, you know, we're all in it together. And, you know, I know for a fact the boys are looking forward to getting over there and catching up with some of them. We're definitely feeling for our brothers over in New Zealand.
When you think about this game against the Chiefs, obviously they have attacking weapons across the park. And I think like the last couple of times you played against the Chiefs, there's been like high scoring, you know, 40 points plus in these games. Like, how do you stop those attacking threats?
Tackle them.
I think you've got to...
Yeah, tackle them. Yeah.
Tackle them.
That's easier said than done.
I think you've got to go from when they're defending. I think the biggest thing that they get, the highest teams in turnovers. In highest turnovers, they're good over the ball. But if you see the way they play in defense, they don't go for the ruck too much. They've always got 14 men in the line. So this is where a turnover comes, you know, they can play. So they're really good in defense. I think if you can nullify that and be strong over the ball and whatnot and own those big runs when you're in attack and secure that ball, then you might deprive them of the ball a little bit. But again, in attack, you can't, if you're going to kick it, you know, for me, you got to kick it on the ground, kick it away from those guys because they can attack from anywhere. They're kind of, as you know, in attack, they're red hot. Again, for the Drua, for us boys, same thing we did last week, similar thing to what we did last week, you've just got to get up. You can't switch off against a team like the Chiefs. And the thing, again, with a team like the Chiefs, we saw it when the Brumbies played the Chiefs, you've got to play for 90 minutes. And as simple as that, you got that mindset because this Chiefs team, again, we know what they can bring. They're very good in attack, very good over the ball, set piece.
What's next? Sorry, we've got Lock and Smoke, and Sammy will go for the Chiefs now.
Yeah. I said that because I was actually in the strategy meeting this week.
I can tell you weren't distracted through all your other revenue streams out there.
Well, I was just thinking with all this.
I was really happy. I was really happy when you said, "So, how did you beat them?" Like, oh, Jesus.
I've got this.
Get up in their face. Kick the ball away for them. Keep it on the ground.
Keep it on the ground. Transition attack. Make sure. But beautiful work, Dems. Mate, your answer's been on fire. I don't know if I like this Nems or last week Nems when you're not as prepared and then there's more of a light-hearted feel to it.
Yeah, I like you more in a rush where you're just coming off the field.
Yeah. Mate, I actually prepared, boys. Like, you'd be prepared.
Well done. You've earned your invoice for this week, so make sure you hand it in. Okay. All good. Perfect. Nems, until next week, have a good one, and hopefully the Drua can go 3 in a row and the celebrations continue in beautiful Fiji.
Thank you, boys. Thank you very much.
Take care, brother.
Brother. Thank you.
Smoke. You better lock it up. You better lock it up. You lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Lock it up. Smoke.
Yes. Hell's good.
I'm done. I'm out of here. He's done something right for us. Our man, Producer Phil. How good was that?
It's back. We're here. Lock and Smoke. We are complete with our
intro.
Nijan Footy Fridays, but this is the time where we get to pick one lock and one smoky of the weekend. We will keep a score, both NRL and Super Rugby, and then the winner at the end of the year receives a full course meal from the loser. I am up because last week we had our
with
first
my heart,
ever.
My emotion for the Loco.
Yep. So you went to lock in for Moana, went to lock in for Tars, Waratahs, and the Waratahs.
How good's the name Loco? Because it's crazy in Spanish.
It's a crazy tip.
It's a crazy tip for us.
Decision.
The Loco.
Anyway, let's get into Lock and Smoke. Who are you going for your lock in?
My lock for this week.
Wait, do you want, actually, what? Just for something different here. I'm willing to. So for Super Rugby, I've just looked at all the games you got. The Crusaders versus Tars, Canes versus Brumbies, Blues versus Reds, Highlanders versus Moana, Chiefs versus Drua.
I'm thinking, you think it's a clean sweep of New Zealand teams?
That's what I'm thinking.
I'm thinking that too.
Oh, okay, let's not do what I was going to say.
No, but then. Like, I know where your head's at. I know where your head's going with it, but I want to hear it out though.
I was going to say, let's put a couple points up for grabs. If I go a clean sweep, I get the couple points. If you get one of them, you get.
Bro, this is even more loco.
This is.
I like it. Let's do it. Because surely there's got to be an upset. I'm with you. I think all the Kiwi teams are the favourites here. There's got to be one upset there. I'm with you. I think all the New Zealand teams will win at New Zealand.
Think, yeah.
So I think that is a lock. If you get all of them right, you should get...
We'll just go two.
Two. Yeah, double the points.
2 points.
But you do have a safety net in rugby league to still choose.
Okay. Something. That's me. 2 points for all.
But,
all
but if you don't, and one of those, I get the 2 points.
And if they don't, you get 1 point.
No, because that's...
Oh, you're going 2-2.
No, because I'll go 1 point and still choose a league game.
Oh, they call you a smoky then.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Let's do that. Clear as mud. We'll lock that one in. So you're going to go all the New Zealand teams, and I just need one of those teams to win.
To get your points.
To get
and
my
points. If
point.
I get it right, I get 2
okay.
points.
And okay, let's just choose one from league.
I am going with, you know what, do we go this? Yeah, there's a good smoky there.
Are you thinking the Melbourne Storm are a smoky?
Nah.
Who?
Newcastle Knights.
Oh, do you like that one?
There's my smoky.
You want to go that
smoke.
One?
Smoke!
No, I'm not going to take it. Oh. I'm taking it. I'm taking the chookies.
Oh, you're going to take the... Okay, you take that one. Okay, that's your... Oh, yeah, have that one.
That's my lock-in. And my smoky was all the New Zealand teams for 2 points.
Yep.
And your lock-in for 1 point was all the teams playing New Zealand.
I'm going to go Panthers. I'm going to go Panthers.
That's not a smoky.
No, sorry, smoke. Oh, you know what? I'm going to go the Dragons for the smoke. So what's that called again?
A loco.
A loco. We're just going double loco.
Smoke.
Smoke, double loco. This is all clear as mud. But anyway, we'll get this sorted. This is good. This is really good.
Sweet. Up the New Zealand teams and the Chookies. You go for the Dragons.
The away teams and the away Dragons. Teams. Mate.
Oh, it's simple. See? All done.
We work well together. But that is our time up for today, for Nesian Footy Friday.
Yes, tell your Pacifica mates about our Monday and Friday shows and subscribe to the podcast.
Wherever you get your podcasts.
Just search Nesian Footy.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.